Every man done that which was right in his own eyes. That doesn't mean it's right, but that's what they wanted. They wanted to do what's right in their own eyes. Now, this movement that's coming up on our land, it's nothing strange. I mean, they hated him when he was here, and they hated him without a cause, and he loved them, and he loved them unto the end. But this ain't our home. We don't fit in down here. We're pretty soon to make our exodus, just like Israel did. We'll be getting out of our Egypt. We'll be going to our promised land, and praise God, we'll finally be home. Let me say it's a blessing and an honor to be here with you tonight. Your pastor texted me this week and asked me if I'd be interested in preaching tonight, and I answered, of course, absolutely, yes, thank you. But I didn't know who it was. I didn't know where I was supposed to preach, but I'll be honest with you, I'd have preached in the Kingdom Hall if it need be. But he finally let me know. I said, where? He said, Fairview. I said, all right. But we'll take our text tonight out of Psalms chapter 42. And I'll read all 11 verses of that chapter. But I'm only going to be preaching from the first one and part of the second one. But most of us don't do a lot of Bible reading anyway. So while we're here tonight, we'll just read all 11 verses here of Psalms chapter number 42. And I do desire your prayers tonight. The Bible says in verse 1, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All of thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And you can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this precious word. By it, Lord, we can receive instruction. By it, Lord, we can get light. The entrance of your word gives light. We pray, dear Father God, tonight you'd open your words to us. Give unto us, Lord, I pray, not only a clarity of thought, Lord, the ability, Lord, to expound upon your words. Lord, I confess, Lord, I'm just a messenger boy, just delivering the message of God. I need this message as much as anyone in here. And I do thank you, Lord, for counting me faithful and putting me in the ministry. And I thank you, Lord, for giving me this message. It encouraged me. And I pray it'll be an encouragement to these that are here tonight. May you bless, I pray, and may you get glory and honor. Our earnest desire is to do that. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now I said I was going to take my text from those first two verses. And the psalmist said, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I want to preach tonight a kind of a strange message, I guess. But the Lord led me this message about 2 weeks ago. I'm already having a pity party. And I thought, Lord, what do you give me a message for? I ain't preaching nowhere anyway. I just see already where he'll be. But he had directed me to preach this message, not necessarily here, but he had given me this message, and I knew he would provide an opportunity for me to preach it. But I'm going to preach tonight a message called Fool's Gold. Now, some men chase after gold, and some men chase after God. And some, the ones that chase after gold, the Bible talks about they follow after those lusts. I'm trying to remember this verse out of Peter, might be James, said they chase after under hurtful lust. They chase after things, and even if they got them, it wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't be no gain. And I've got a tremendous testimony to give at the end of this message. I'm kind of spinning my wheels right now, but it talks about many coveting after things to their hurt. I mean, they'll break in and steal. They'll deceive and defraud one another for gold. And there's a parable mentioned in Luke chapter 12 about a man. His crops brought forth plentifully, starting in verse 16. And he said within himself, what shall I do? My crops brought forth plenty. This I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger barns. I'll put my goods in my barns. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that night he had a vision of that night. And God spoke to him that night. And he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Which of those things be that you've laid up? Now the next verse says, so is he that layeth up treasure unto himself, but is not rich toward God. I'd rather have the true riches, you know what I mean? I mean, the Bible talks about laying up your treasures in heaven, where the thief can't break in and steal. Lay not up for yourselves treasure down here. Listen, it's all right to have a little gold. I've got a little gold. I got a lot of God. And I'll tell you right now, boy, I made a good trade one day. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven being like a man that found treasure in a field. And he went and sold everything he had and bought that field, talking about Christ and an application to finding Christ, selling out to God. Talked about another man went looking for goodly pearls, and he found one pearl of great price, and he went and sold everything he had, bought that pearl. Talking about, again, Christ, an application to finding true riches, the riches of God. Well, fool's gold is actually iron pyrrhonite, and it's worth about $20 a pound. I didn't know it had any worth at all. Real gold, as of this morning, it's bringing $1,288 an ounce. There's quite a bit of difference between fool's gold and real gold. And yet God is more precious than gold. Amen. And like I said, that rich man, he made preparation, but wasn't rich towards God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, in sorrow he had a visitor that night. There's a man, his name is Forrest Finn. Now, he is hidden a treasure chest with 265 gold coins and jewels and gold nuggets in it. He has even given a poem with 9 clues where to find this treasure chest. 3 people have died trying to find this treasure chest. One of them was a pastor of a church. I find that hard to believe. Makes me wonder a little bit what kind of pastor he was pastoring. I'll just tell you right now, buddy. There was a time in my life that I was indeed guilty of seeking gold. I'm kind of like Solomon. I got this. I got that. And after I got this. And after I got that. It was all vanity. It satisfied for like a minute. Oh boy. I met Jesus 29 years ago. Not only am I still satisfied, but I'm not seeking another. Amen. My quest has been fulfilled. I'll tell you one thing, boy, he satisfies. I mean, they sent a centurion man, the soldier, to arrest Jesus, and he come back and he said, never man speak like that man. Right. Woo! Just a close encounter with him. Man, oh man, it's fulfilling. But oh, I sleep better. Woo! My thoughts are better. My walk's better. Everything I do now is better because I met him. He made me a new creature. Amen. But this man, he hid, and his treasure's still out there for the, for the adventurer, for the one that thinks he can decipher this poem with these nine clues of where to find it. But the Bible tells us, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? I'd rather have the true riches of God. That's mentioned in Luke 16, verse 11. Verse 13 talks about a man can't serve two masters. You can't serve gold and God. I'm going to tell you, God's got to have the preeminence. And these riches, they didn't satisfy Solomon. He got gold. He got silver. He built houses. And he dug ponds. He planted trees. And he said it's all vanity there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4 through 11. They just didn't satisfy. There's only one that can end your quest for satisfaction, and that's Jesus. Amen. A lot of people today, young, they'll go through life and their life is empty. I don't know if y'all heard about this 8-year-old girl, well, not 8-year-old, then 8th grade. Over the weekend, I found this out last night, prayer meeting. A young girl in our community in 8th grade took her life. Her mother had passed away, and she had been bullied somewhat at school, and she had her fill, and she overdosed on some kind of pill and died. And that's sad. It grieves me to hear about that. It makes me wonder what I could have done. It might have made a difference. And I know we can't reach them all, but we need to try to reach them all and tell them about the great treasure, the treasure of God. I mean, the one that puts a song in our heart, the one that established our goings, the one that's with us. He said, oh, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm telling you, buddy, when God's on your side, you got it made. Amen. The Bible says, who will be he that harm you? If the Lord be for you, who can harm you? I'm glad, praise God, I don't have to worry about North Korea. I don't have to worry about Russia. I don't even have to worry about the Republicans and the Democrats. It's full of poison as they are. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know he's on the throne above all the thrones. I know that his name, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. They're going to call him Lord all the way down to the fourth tongue devil. And I'm looking forward to the day that he does call him Lord. He's already Lord. I want to hear that lying devil call him Lord. Amen. Praise God. But in quest of life, a lot of people, like Daniel Boone, they asked Daniel Boone one time if he'd ever been lost. And he said, I've never been lost. He said, I was bewildered one time for about 6 weeks, but I've never been lost. You know what? I was lost. I'll admit it. I was lost for 34 years. I went through life, and Brother Danny is as empty as empty could be. Man, I tell you what, I have to admit everything about my life before I got saved was false. The Bible says in Psalm 144, verse 15, happy is that people whose God is the Lord, yea, happy is that people's in such a case. Well, I gave the appearance of happiness, but inside, I wasn't happy. Matter of fact, inside, I was empty. That's a terrible state for anybody to be in. And you go to great lengths to try to hide it, to try to act happy, to try to do the things that happy people do. But I'll tell you right now, since I've been saved, I can be happy not doing anything. I can be happy not possessing or trying anything. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord is a strength. It's so good to be saved. It's so wonderful. It's joy unspeakable. It's full of glory. It's peace that passes understanding. And everybody ain't got it. A little boy got saved at church.
Man, he come home and told his daddy. He said, "Daddy, daddy," he said, "I got saved." And he said, "Son, you ain't got saved." He said, "Oh yeah, did I get saved?" He said, No. You didn't get saved." He said, "You're too happy to be saved." He said, "If you was sad, dignified, or disquieted, or something like that," he said, "I might believe you got saved." He said, "You're too happy to be saved." That little boy went out of the house scratching his head. He went outside, and there was a songbird out there, and it's a singing his heart out. He said, "You ain't got it." And he saw a little dog there, and he's kind of like that boy went to the dog pound. And he asked him, "Which dog you want?" He said, "I want that one that had the end of his wagging his tail." He seen that dog in there wagging his tail. He said, "You ain't got nobody." And then he saw a rooster over there crowing there, you know. And he said, "Oh boy, you ain't got it." But he made that trip to the barn, and there's a big long faced mule with his head hung out that barn right there. He said, "Oh boy, you got it." That's not what salvation is. I went through those days, oh baby. But boy, I tell you what, my wife, she said, "You can't be like that all the time." I said, "Well, honey, why can't I?" She said, "Well, you just can't stay up on the mountain that long." I said, "I don't see no reason why not." And I tell you what, I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying my salvation. I wish I could go through it again, Ricky. I done rubbed it raw. And he said, "I'm going to make the church of God out of brother before you get saved on one." Well, I tell you what, buddy, once done it for me, done me good. And I wish everybody saved. Wouldn't have all this protesting. Wouldn't have all this bullying going on in schools. Wouldn't have all these crimes, all this mischief going on if everybody's saved. You know why? They wouldn't want nothing else. I mean, the quest is over when you find the true riches. Now you're not wanting nothing. You know what? My daughter, she was asking me where the Ten Commandments were. So anyway, make a long story short, she said, "No, it's written in red." I said, "You go back to Exodus, chapter 20, and read it." She said, "Well, where are that?" I said, "Just read it." So anyway, she followed down. "Yeah, but I only wrote it out." I said, "Well, write it out." But anyway, I told her about those Ten Commandments. I said, those first four deal with your relationship with God, and those next six deal with your relationship to man. That's why Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself." He said on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, because that's it. The first four, "Thou shalt not have unto any other gods, and thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. Thou shalt not make it any graven image. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness, and that last one, thou shalt not covet." That covets everything. Covet covers everything. Paul said, "I've not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet." That told me he had a problem. He wanted something that wasn't his. I don't know what it was. But he said that law, "thou shalt not covet," caused him to know sin. And if you break one, you're guilty of all. So those laws are sufficient. And you know, they want to get rid of them. But if they saved, they wouldn't want to get rid of them. You know why they want to get rid of those Ten Commandments? Bible tells you men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. And you see, that Ten Commandments, it shows man that he's not as good as he thinks he is. Matter of fact, those Ten Commandments show the man that he's sinned and come short of the glory of God. It don't say some. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And those Ten Commandments do a good job of convincing people of the fact not only they're lost, but they need to be forgiven, they need to be saved. But if they were saved, Brother Daniel, those Ten Commandments could hang again on the school wall. They were on there when I was in there. Those Ten Commandments wouldn't be such an offense. But if you really don't want to know what's going on down here, people have a problem with authority. They don't want to be told they can't do something. They love President Obama because he said, "We'll rewrite the law. Do whatever you want to." Now, President Trump ain't getting in politics tonight. He's long over president. They hate him because they don't want to be told what they can and can't do. Well, we have laws for a reason. And we are a nation of laws. And without those laws, people walk in the bank, just take the money and leave. They do whatever they wanted to in your house, my house, and think
those laws set up the boundaries for all of us to apply. But if everybody was saved, if everybody, like this verse here says, was chasing after God instead of chasing after gold, they'd find Him. The Bible said in Acts 17, He's not very far from any one of us. Matter of fact, the Bible says, draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. It's not hard to find God. Matter of fact, He came down here seeking to save sinners. Paul said, of a truth, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Son of Man come to seek and save that which is lost. I'm telling you, buddy, He's already looking for you. It ain't hard to find God. It's just so many people are chasing the wrong things. Amen. Now this is a terrible example, but it fits this narrative real good. In 2012, September the 18th, there was a 69-year-old man that died in Nevada. He had over $7 million in gold in the basement of his house, gold bars and gold coins. He had $12,000 in cash in his home. He had $165,000 in stocks and bonds. He had $200 in the bank. Now, it would sound like that man was rich. Well, when they found him, he'd been dead for over a month. He wouldn't go to the doctors. He didn't trust them. He was anti-government. That's why he had so much money in the house and only $200 in the bank. And you think with all that money, I mean, old Brother Eddie, Brother Dan, when I don't show up church, he comes over to the house. I missed you last Sunday, brother. This man been dead over a month. They had to carry that gold out of that basement in wheelbarrows. Now, what good did all that gold do this man? I said the Bible talked about there in Luke chapter number 12, so is he that layeth up treasure unto himself, yet is not rich towards God. There is a difference. Now, Peter, James, and John, well, actually, it's Peter and John, I believe, come into the temple, and here lays an impotent man there at the gate of the temple, and he lays eyes on him and asks alms of him, and Peter fixed his eyes on this man, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And that man raised up, running and leaping, praising God. Which one was the richest? The man that died with $7 million in gold in his basement, $165,000 in stocks and bonds, $12,000 cash, $200 in the bank, been dead over a month, or a man that said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Which one was rich? That's the kind of riches I'm interested in. Man, ain't nobody got to worry about breaking in my house. When they read my will and say, be in a sound mind and body, I spend it all in them to fight over. Man, I tell you what, why hoard it? Why not spend it? I got grandkids. I don't have to worry about my money. They spend it back out there. That 1 year, they pop, you got $10? Yeah, honey. Good, man. We'll get some breakfast on the way to church in the morning. Milk you like a cow. And listen, if we're not careful, we'll catch ourselves chasing after gold instead of God. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the things that you have need of, He'll supply out of your riches and glory. God, I know. He said, all the gold is His. Woo! He said, all the silver is mine. Woo! He said, the cattle on a thousand hills is mine. Somebody said, the tares in the hills is His too. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Right. All souls belong to Him. Man, you're talking about riches. I'm talking about, I know someone rich. Right. Warren Buffett's pauper. He's a pauper. What's that other guy?
Bill Gates?
Yeah. Better compared
paved the roads of heaven with streets of gold in heaven. Man, when they read the will, we'll be there. The Bible said we're joint heirs. Now, I've never had my family, we've been poverty all of my life. I've never known nothing but poverty. And it's been a blessing, actually, to be honest with you. It really has. It's kept me humble. And the Bible tells us, humble yourself, therefore, on the mighty hand of God, that He might exalt you in due time. It says, be clothed with humility. You don't get in too much trouble being humble. It's when I go walking in pride. Oh, man, that's when I get in trouble. That's when I say what I should have said, do what I should have did, and end up, I really run my fingers at, end up in trouble. But God, He freely gives us everything that pertains to this life. Rick mentioned preaching over this morning. He said, the reason some of you ain't got nothing, he said, you ain't asked for it. He said, my boys, when they need somebody to come to me, and he said, first of all, I honor the fact that they're my sons, and I consider the fact that they come to me asking for help. And he said, I'll just be honest with you, most of the time I do help them. And he said, I found it the same with God. He said, I found out when I come to Him, then He says, what you need, son? And he said, well, I just really need to talk with you for a minute. He said, you fix a cup of coffee? And he sat down there and he said, Lord, if you're not too busy, he said, I'd like to sup with you just a minute. And he said, so help me, God, for just a minute that I felt the arms of the Lord around me and tears run down my cheeks. And he said, it was a blessed moment. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm talking about the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. Psalms 46, verse 10. Chase after God, and you'll find true treasure. Chase after God, and you'll find fulfillment. You chase after Him, you won't have time for all this other stuff. I sure hate my commentary to be that I was 69 years old, and I had been dead for over a month. They said that man did have a distant cousin, and she had her phone number disconnected. Now, if that man went to church, you think, Brother Chris, he'd get out there missed you last Sunday with this man being dead in his house for over a month. All that money. Been dead for over a month. That's a sad commentary. I'm persuaded a lot of people are in that same, they might not have the same amount of wealth, but they're in that same predicament. They've chased after the treasures of this world rather than the treasures of God. You know what? I thank God that even though I was guilty of that, that one day I found the true treasure. One day I found that one that made this empty spot or this void, made it whole. Amen. You know, I have to admit, Brother Daniel, I drunk, Ocean liner, liquor, maybe more than trying to satisfy the thirst. And I got it satisfied. Like, yeah. Man, I'll eat everything under the sun trying to satisfy hunger. And it was satisfied just like that. And, you know, I had a man one time, not too far from here, at church, I went to revival with my pastor. I run into a man that revival, his name was Sam Harper. And he said, Eddie, he said, you work with my stepson, Mark Fisher. He said, I want you to talk to him about his soul. He's lost. I said, Sam, I will. You pray for me and I get an opportunity. I didn't know it was going to be this fast. Coming to work the next day, and I'm sitting in the break room, before somebody comes in, they got a Bible laying on the table there, they think I've got AIDS or something, they just walk on by. Anyway, I'm in there in the break room, I got it all to myself, but they got a big old King James Bible that's laid out there on the table there. It just happened to look up, there's a woman in the break room, and I saw Mark Fisher walk by. He walked by, and I said, well, there he goes. About the time I said, there he goes, he came by. And I'm speechless. I thought, okay. And I started this conversation. He came in the break room. He sat down across the table in front of me. I'm trying to think messes up what I need to say here. Before I could get a word out of my mouth, you know what he said, Daniel? He said, I want what you got.
Amen.
I said, well, just tell Jesus the same thing you told me. He'll give it to you.
Amen.
That man got saved. He didn't live 2 years after that. He didn't live very much long after that. But you know what? That's a blessing. See the difference in this man? This man had filthy mouth like me. And a bunch of other things, but oh man, he lit up like a light bulb. Next time I seen him, I said, is that you? He said, oh yeah. Man, we can think about people like that. They just need to find him. They just need to get to him. And he can satisfy that earthly thirst, that earthly hunger with the spiritual meat and the living water. You know, I'll tell you, this is a sad commentary. This man wasn't chasing after God. This man was chasing after gold, and he'd gathered up so much. I saw when this man died a long time ago, I saw him. They had wheelbarrows coming out of that basement loaded with gold bars and gold coins. They were bringing them out. And they had men up there with guns, you know. I saw them coming out of there with this gold. This is gold. So I guess his uncle got it all. Look at Sam. But anyway, man, he laid all that up. And I'll be honest with you, I doubt I'll see him in heaven. He had the wrong treasure. You know, tonight I'd like to say that I've got the true treasure. Amen. I'm glad that silver and gold I may have none, but such as I have, I can give in the name of Jesus. This man, he wasn't rich. To the world, he looked rich. But he lived alone. He never went anywhere. He lived the life of a hermit. And he died alone. That's a sad commentary. I don't wish that on nobody. What about you tonight? Are you chasing after gold? You know, I'll be honest with you. The devil would like for you to. He offered it to Jesus. He said, if you'll worship me, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. He said, if you'll worship me, I'll give it all to you. If the devil did ever give you anything, you take it back. Jesus said, give thee hint, Satan. It's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. You know, you might not think that you're chasing after gold, but it depends on what's on your mind. You know, almost all the time, God's on my mind, and I'm fellowshipping with him, and I'm speaking with him, I'm thanking on him. The Bible said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. That lets me know he's thinking about me too. Bible said, Psalm 34, verse 6, said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam, when he was in prison, the man slipped a little New Testament under his cell door. It made him mad. Man, he's going to tear that thing in two. Just happened to open it up. He opened up to that verse. Psalm 34, verse 6, and that one verse penetrated his heart. And he fell down and called upon him with rich mercy. All that call upon him. David Berkowitz got saved and found the true riches. You know, you may think tonight, Brother Eddie, I'm not seeking after gold. Well, Jesus said, if we love him, we'll do the things he said. And he said, if you be my disciples, continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's a lot of things he told us to do. He said he would that men might always pray, not faint. Not all women who faint so well pray. But he'll probably surprise you to know what your heart. You know, Achan, he kind of made a mistake of choosing gold over God. And they went up there, Ai, in a little bitty place there, and Achan saw a wedge of gold, some Babylonian garments. He hid them under his tent. Caused his death. death of all of the little Lincolns. Be careful what you chew, what you chase after. I'm be chasing after God. I'm like the harp hanging out the brook. I'm looking for God everywhere I go. I'm thinking about God everywhere I'm going. Man, I'm always, my mind is stayed upon Him. If that's not true with you tonight, you ought to really think about that. Everything you have in this life, He gave it. Everything. All to Him I owe. And like I said, that's a sad commentary. But when it comes down to fool's gold, a lot of people are going to fall in that predicament. They might not have $7 million worth of gold. Three people died trying to find that treasure trove before Finn hid. That just shows you some people are chasing the wrong thing. Lord, we delivered the best we could this message tonight, Lord. And I know the message is true. I know, Lord, all of us, Lord, have to examine ourselves and have to, Lord, be honest of what we're truly seeking in life. And Lord, I know You're not hard to find. And I pray, dear Father, Lord, You would help us, Lord, to have a, to be rich towards God instead of rich towards this world. To have, Lord, a desire, Lord, to have more of You and less of this world. Your word says the friendship of this world is ending with God. And Lord, I just pray, God, You'll help us to be rich in God. I pray, Lord, the neighbors, Lord, will notice we're singing more and talking more about God. Lord, I pray the church, Lord, would have also an effect. Lord, people love You, Lord. It's hard. Lord, it's hard to hide it when someone loves You. And I pray, God, You'll help us, Lord, to have the right desire. Desire the things of God over the things of this world. And I hope, Lord, someone tonight, Lord, maybe heard something tonight, help them, Lord, through the week, be challenged in their own heart, Lord, to make a bad choice, maybe to help them, Lord, to make the right choice, I pray. Whatever, Lord, may You be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, well, I'll stand tonight. Like I said, you're going to chase one or the other. And the Lord knows which one you are chasing after. And somebody get a song tonight. And you're going to play one. You know, maybe in your own heart tonight, you're convicted of the fact that you got a shallow, superficial walk with God. You know how to have a deeper walk with God? He said, come unto Me. He said, draw nigh to Him. He'll draw nigh to you. Listen, He's got everything you need. Oceans of it. And the Bible said He'll freely give it. He said, you have not cause you ask not. He said, knock and it shall be open. Seeking, He shall find. What are you truly seeking in this short life? But a vapor appear for a little while. Man, if you live, we went on visitation Saturday. I met a lady, 88 years old. And, boy, she had a tremendous testimony. And she said, oh, how life flies by. The Bible said in God is length of days. Health. Strength. He knows what you need. And He'll freely give it. Hey, you need to come tonight and just thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Been gracious. We sung that song, How Great Thou Art, and He is great. I'll tell you right now, He deserves the reward of His suffering. He deserves the high praises. He may not ever get them. The rocks may have to cry out, but He deserves it. It's a blessing to know Him. You know, I ask people all the time, I say, you know Barack Obama? They say, yeah. I say, you know Him personally? They say, well, no. I said, I know God personally. What a blessing that is. Lord, we pray, dear Father, during this time of invitation. Lord, I don't know how Your word went. I don't know, Lord. Lord, the needs that are here tonight. I just know, Lord, I've done my part. I've done the best I could. Lord, I believe I've illustrated the point where it cannot be
tonight. Lord, may we be found. May we be found chasing you and not the things of this world. Lord, all the things that this life has offered cannot be compared to you. No amount of wealth can compare with a moment spent with you. Bless your children tonight. Encourage them. Help them to realize we ain't home yet. Nothing down here is eternal. We're going to a place where the sun doesn't go down. Bless your name tonight. Sweet Jesus. Amen. Appreciate these on the altar. Boy, God honors that. He sure does. Matter of fact, we'll do more of it. Maybe somebody's got a word on your heart tonight. Maybe you got a praise tonight. God's been good to you. Give you a good week. Give you a good wife. Maybe you just got a praise tonight. Let me tell you something. He inhabits the praises of his people. And he's worthy to be praised. I can find you a saving old drunk named Eddie Wade. And every opportunity I get to stand for him is a blessing. Maybe you got one tonight. Oh, it's quiet in here. If nobody's got a praise, why? Nobody got a need or a praise, I guess we're done. But I don't know how that could be possible. Got a praise?
Thank you, Lord, for the message. Thank him again for what he does for me daily.
You feel richer than you was for the service? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be there when they read my portfolio and it's going to be embarrassed. Someone said years ago, back when the Catholic Church was persecuting Christians, that they had a bunch, they called them Bloody Mary. And if they found you going to church, they'd kill you. Terrible ways they would kill you. I don't even want to elaborate on it. But this young lady had her two babies with her, and she was going to church, and she saw the henchman coming. It's a true story. She saw the henchman coming, and she said, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to tell him? I've got my babies with me." And they pulled up there and said, "Where are you going, Missy?" She said, "Well, I'm going to my father's house. My elder brother died, and they're going to read the will." And he said, "Well, go ahead. I'm sorry to hear about that." They went on down the road a little bit, and they got to thinking about that. It sounded kind of fishy, like, you know. Like I said, this is a true story. So they started going through the neighborhood trying to find this girl. And they knocked on every door. And they finally found her and opened up the door. And she's standing there, and they're standing there and said, "How'd it go when they read that will?" She said, "Oh, praise God, he left it all to me." Woo! Amen. Left it all to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? I tell that better where I go. Man, that's a wonderful thing there. He left it all to us. We're heirs to the throne. I'll be there when you read the will. And the wealth. Never been wealthy, but I will be there. Be somebody. We done? I ain't gonna pump a well. Pull a pin on a hand grenade and we'll get out of here. All right. Appreciate y'all having me out. I intended not to preach long tonight.